Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands. And he said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, "Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove." And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us." And so commanded he that the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, "On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me. And afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me." So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" He said, "Jacob." He said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou hast after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sin of which strength, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sin of that strength. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. We pray. Father, we pray that this account of reunion, of these two brethren might instruct us in all that the Spirit of God would teach us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Winning an offended brother. One thing that you notice when you go to many foreign countries, and especially in Chile, the homes all had bars on the windows. Then around the yard of the homes usually were tall walls. Besides that, many times on top of the walls was broken glass. These homes were hard to get into. The purpose, of course, was to keep out thieves and robbers, and no doubt but what it deterred many. But they got in. It was hard, but it wasn't impossible. Now in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, we read, a brother sinned against, a brother who has been offended is like a strong city and like the bars of a castle. A brother who has been offended, a person whom we have offended, Solomon says, is like bars on the window. It's like a castle with its moat around it. It's like a fenced city, a walled city. It's hard to win. And an offended brother is hard to win. A person whom we have offended is hard to win. But praise God, this scripture tonight tells us that it's not impossible. Tonight we'd like to just briefly look at three things. First of all, the importance of winning an offended brother. Secondly, how he will never be won. And thirdly, how he can be won. First of all, the importance of winning him. Grand Rapids is full of offended people. People who have been hurt by other people. And the sad thing is, many times, people who have been hurt by professing Christians. Now, I recognize that many times this is just an excuse. Many times the person, if he didn't have that excuse, would find another one. Nevertheless, it does give him an excuse. And here we find that Esau had a good excuse. You remember the story, how years before Jacob had tricked Esau. We remember, first of all, how Esau came in faint from the field and said to Jacob, how about giving me a little bit of your stew? And Jacob said, sure, if you will sell me your inheritance. And Jacob bought the inheritance for a bowl of stew. Not exactly what you would call ethical business procedure. And then after that, you remember the story how Jacob, instigated by his mother, deceived his father and received the parental blessing that his father had intended to give to Esau, tricked him in this way. And so as someone would come up to Esau and say, Esau, are you acquainted with the gospel that, as we read in the New Testament, was before preached unto Abraham? Are you acquainted with the gospel as God gave it to Abraham? And Esau would say, I know something about that. My brother is one of those. And he would think of the ways that his brother had offended him. Yes, he's the one who cheated me out of my inheritance. He's the one that took advantage of me when I was starving. He's the one that impersonated me to steal my father's blessing. Now, it's true. Esau didn't have a mind to believe God, didn't have a heart for God, and he would have found some other excuse, I'm sure. Nevertheless, this served as a very good excuse for Esau. And this harmed the testimony of God. Secondly, how can Esau's not be won? How will they never be won? First of all, I'd like to suggest to you, from what we see in this chapter, that Esau's will not be won by the passing of time. Offenses are never forgotten. they can be forgiven. But offenses are just not forgotten. Jacob had been away for 20 years. When the time came for Jacob to return home, the first thing Jacob thought of was Esau. And as soon as Esau heard that Jacob was coming, the first thing that Esau thought of was what Jacob had done to him. Offended brothers, offended people, will not be won by the passing of time. I sometimes think Jacob was so content to serve Laban, his uncle, for 20 years because he wasn't really in a hurry to get home. Every time he thought about home, he thought about Esau and that he was going to have to face Esau. Now, I suppose Jacob could have said, well, I really don't have anything against Esau, and I realize we don't see each other very much, but we live a long ways apart. But Jacob, does Esau have anything against you? Well, I don't know why he should. After all, he sold the birthright to me, but he sold it willingly. He didn't have to do it. And after all, he did try to get back at me by feeding Dad venison and trying to get on his good side. And it was really Mom who outsmarted him and got the blessing for me. It wasn't my fault. She thought about that. But in spite of all this thing of nothing being wrong, I think Jacob was just as happy that for 20 years he didn't have to see Esau. And sometimes this comes into our lives and we think of a certain person. And right away our conscience says, well, you know, I don't have anything against him. Well, does he have anything against you? Are you just as happy that you don't run into him? Are you just as content not to see him? If you did see him, of course, you could smile if you had to. But you're just as glad if you don't see him. You don't have to smile at him. You don't have to say hi to him. But you realize that there's a mess there. There's something that isn't right. And you aren't really sure who's responsible for it or what can be done about it. You just wish it would all go away. But it doesn't go away. And the months pass and the years pass. And the problem is still there. And every once in a while there will be varying degrees of uneasiness. And then everything will seem to be all right. I think it went away. I think everything's okay now. And then all of a sudden there will be uneasiness again. Jacob, I think, hoped never to see Esau again. And that's sometimes how we feel. We just hope we won't run into that person again. But you will. God will see to that. And God saw to it that Jacob would run into Esau again. 20 years later, he remembered very vividly everything that had happened, and that there was still something wrong, and that it needed to be righted, because offenses are not healed by the passing of time. Secondly, an offended person will not be won by trying to be friendly. As Jacob began journeying towards home, recognizing he's going to have to face his brother Esau, I think Jacob had in the back of his mind, well, I'm ready to let bygones be bygones. Dad made some mistakes. He showed favoritism. And Mom made some mistakes, her deceitfulness. And Esau made some mistakes, foolishness, you know, to sell his birthright. And I probably made some mistakes too. And I was the unfortunate victim of a jealous father and a scheming mother. And I was just a victim of all these circumstances. But I'm willing to just forget it all. Live and let live, you know, let bygones be bygones. Because of this attitude, we see here in Scripture that Jacob's first attempt at gaining forgiveness from his brother failed. Failed miserably. We find in verse 3 that Jacob sent messengers to Esau. Verse 4, he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. Esau could have cared less where Jacob was. That wasn't what he wanted to hear. Then Jacob said, Now tell Esau, my brother, I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. You see what he's saying? What he's saying is, I've done all right financially. God has blessed me. The fact that God has blessed me materially indicates that I haven't really done anything wrong. That's what he was saying. The implication was that he had done no wrong because God's blessing had been upon him. And Esau resented that. And I think Esau in his heart was saying, if he didn't say it out loud, Jacob, you self-righteous snob, let's see how righteous and blessed of God you feel when I come to you with my 400 soldiers. And I'm sure that Esau didn't come to greet Jacob with 400 soldiers just to say, Hi, Jacob. Jacob knew that Esau had some evil intentions. And Jacob was afraid. Jacob failed miserably in gaining the forgiveness of his brother because he said the wrong thing, because he had the wrong attitude. Now, how can Esau's be won? Jacob found out. Verses 7 through 12, we find Jacob was greatly afraid. He was greatly distressed. Wonderful. That's the first step. When our sin begins to bother us, we find in verses 7 through 12 that Jacob came to a place of sincere repentance for his sin. Greatly afraid, and as he thought of these 400 soldiers coming toward him with his angry brother, he began to realize how badly he had offended Esau, his brother. Now, God's blessing on Jacob did not mean that God had approved of all of his past. You know, this is one of the dangers of financial prosperity. As we are prospered financially, we begin to think that God is happy with everything that we're doing. That's not so. Sometimes we hear the saying, God won't bless a man who has sinned. That's not true. God blesses all kinds of men who have sinned. In fact, just think back, when was the last time you sinned? And did God bless you since then? You know, one of the things I find out? I find many times my most thrilling opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ have come right after I've miserably failed God. You know, they don't come right after I've just had a wonderful time in the Word, a thrilling devotional, a good time of prayer, and I go out strengthened, and I have a wonderful opportunity to witness. That happens, but I find many, many times right after I've really blown it, and I've let God down miserably, right after that, the situation will arise where someone will say, you know, well, what is the gospel? And, you know, what does the Bible teach? I feel about as worthy to tell them. I've never felt less worthy to tell them. And I say, God, why do you do this to me? He said, I want you to remember that I never bless you because you're good, because you'd never get any blessing then. I never bless you because you deserve it, because you'd never get it. And God's blessing on us, just out of His abundant grace, not because we deserve it at all. God blessed Jacob, not because he deserved it. He blessed him in spite of the fact that he had done some rather low things. And for 20 years, he failed to really get things right with his brother. God's blessing on Jacob didn't mean that Jacob had not sinned against Esau. Jacob finally began to see how deeply he had offended Esau. And we find that 7 to 12, Jacob became sincerely repentant. The second thing that we find here in the life of Jacob, how he won his brother, after sincere repentance, we find abundant restitution. Now Esau was of no mind to be convinced of any repentance in Jacob until he saw a change in his attitude. Not necessarily a change in his life. He didn't have to see 20 years of change. All Esau wanted to see was a change in his attitude. And I think in the back of his mind, Esau was saying, until that money grabber begins to loosen up, repentance wouldn't mean much to me. And so Jacob here, we find Jacob begins to show his sincere repentance through abundant restitution. Now Jacob could have justified himself. He could have said that actually he had not really taken anything from Esau. He had stolen the birthright, the promised inheritance, but actually Jacob did not have one animal or one shoelace that belonged to Esau yet. Nothing. He had stolen the promises was all. And so he could have rationalized and said, well, I haven't taken anything from Esau. I don't have a thing of his. But you know, Jacob had to show evidence of his victory over selfishness. And so Jacob took from his flocks 220 goats, 220 sheep, 60 camels, 50 cattle, 30 donkeys, 5 sets of presents that he set on the road going toward his brother Esau, 580 animals. Now, when the rascal who would take your entire inheritance for a bowl of stew, just because he had you right where he wanted you, starts giving away 580 animals, then Esau begins doing some thinking. He says, now maybe that God of his is doing something for him after all. Abundant restitution. Thirdly, we find the third step that Jacob took was that of complete brokenness. Complete brokenness, first of all, before God. We find in verse 24. In verse 24, Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Complete brokenness before God. And Jacob here all night long wrestled with God. And all night long, Jacob relived the many ways that he had hurt his brother Esau. I believe that night as Jacob wrestled with God that he understood for the first time Esau's terrible disappointment in being taken advantage of by his own brother who claimed to be a religious person on top of it all. And I believe but that night Jacob saw for the first time what God thought of his terrible deceit and selfishness. Brokenness before God. Not only brokenness before God, we find brokenness before his brother. Chapter 33 and verse 3, Jacob came and bowed himself to the ground 7 times as he drew near to his brother. This was a completely different Jacob from the day before, who could self-righteously say, God has blessed me. I hope you will recognize I have done no wrong. A changed man. And as a result, that angry leader of 400 soldiers who had the full intention of slaying his brother and all that he had, finds himself weeping and embracing the very man he would have killed. Esau recognized the sincere repentance. Esau recognized the abundant restitution. He recognized the complete brokenness of Jacob. And when we are completely broken before God and before the person that we've offended, we find that the bars of the castle break down. The walls of the city, like the walls of Jericho, fall, and the offended brother is gained. Now you notice in this, we have no record that Esau ever recognized any wrong on his part or asked any forgiveness on his part. Now that's very important. And it's thrilling that this did not keep Jacob from fully forgiving Esau and for coming into full fellowship with him. Do you know, if I have in the back of my heart, well, I realize I did wrong, but he did wrong too, and he should also ask me to forgive him, we'll never get his forgiveness. Before Jacob ever got to Esau, and whether or not Esau ever said a word, Jacob had fully forgiven him. Esau had made some mistakes, but Jacob had fully forgiven him without his ever asking for it or even indicating he desired it. He offended him. We find here that Jacob won his brother when he was willing to take the entire blame, the whole blame. I have sinned before thee. And he fully forgave his brother for anything he might have done without his asking for it. Then you notice one more thing. We find later on, we didn't read that portion, later on, Esau said to Jacob, keep the animals. I have sufficient myself, but my brother, keep the animals. And Jacob said no. And Jacob insisted that his brother Esau keep the 580 animals, because this was a constant reminder to Esau that Jacob was a changed man and that Esau had fully forgiven him. I wonder tonight, is there someone that you know things are not really right with them? You rather hope you don't run into them. If you did, you'd try to be friendly and say hello, but you know that there's something wrong. You're hoping that time will heal the situation. I'm sorry, but it won't. It won't work. The strong is a strong city, bars of a castle, and they won't go away. The only solution for winning the offended brother is, first of all, sincere repentance. Stop judging him. Stop justifying myself. Fully forgive him. Recognize that I have sinned. Secondly, abundant restitution. Find some way to prove to him, to show him that I've really changed, that I really mean it. And then thirdly, complete brokenness. Relive his hurts. Relive everything I've done to him. Put myself in his shoes and feel how what I did hurt him. Until his hurts break my heart. And then the strong city will be won. And you know the amazing thing? The very person or persons that at one time you really didn't care if you ran into or not, all of a sudden become your very best friends. And you find that you love them even more than others with whom you've had no difficulties. Now, one more thing. Perhaps God himself is the one that you would just as soon avoid. Oh, you attend church. But as far as really getting close to God, just kind of happy to let God keep his distance. And you pay your respects occasionally and say, hi, God. But just don't get too nosy. Maybe God's the one that that you would just as soon avoid. Have you ever really thought how much this hurts him? Have you ever relived all of your offenses toward him? I think when you do that, you'll find it will break your heart. And as you sincerely repent, oh God, I have sinned. And as you are willing for abundant restitution, as Saul Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God, I'll do anything to show you that I mean business. And then God says that he will forgive. And he whom we try to avoid becomes our closest friend. I think there's a song in our hymn book that expresses our thoughts tonight. It's number 210. Number 210. Sinners Jesus will receive. You know, Jesus doesn't receive self-righteous men. He doesn't. God doesn't receive righteous people. Sinners Jesus will receive. And until I relive all the many ways that I've hurt him, and recognize how deeply I've grieved him, he can't possibly receive me with that kind of attitude. Sinners Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Christ receiveth sinful men. Now tonight perhaps God has spoken to your heart. Maybe tonight you need to come to God and tell him all the truth. Say, oh God, I didn't realize how I'd hurt you. Sinners Jesus will receive. When you admit it, sincerely repent. Maybe you've hurt someone else. And this is the time God is speaking to your heart. And you want to tell him, God, tonight I determine by your grace I'm going to get this thing right. Time won't heal it. Years will go by and it'll still be there. Trying to be friendly won't help. I'm going to have to get broken. And tonight I want to do that. And perhaps you would like to do this. You know, one of the best ways of getting broken, if you really want to get all broken up, if you're really desperate, you know how you can do it? As we sing, you just slip out of your seat. When you come forward, we're going to pray together. You'd be surprised how God will help you to sincerely repent and find abundant forgiveness. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus receives sinners and that offended brethren receive sinners also. They don't care about self-righteous people, but offended brethren also receive sinners. Those who are all broken up for what they've done. We pray, God, you speak to our hearts tonight. Those to whom you are speaking this night might be determined that there's going to be abundant restitution. There's going to be complete brokenness and sincere brokenness before God. We'll trust you for this in Jesus' name. So we stand and sing. As we sing, God has spoken to your heart. You step out of your seat. Come forward. We'll just have a time of prayer, seeking God's face. God will meet your need tonight. So we sing.